Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 56 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and, of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I've put a link to it on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. I'm also sitting here with my fairly new cat, a little stray that adopted my family a couple of months ago. Her name is Vesper, and she is wearing the cone of shame. It's so pathetic. She's just laying here with her little cone, looking at me with her big blue Disney eyes. So I had to give Vesper a little shout-out before I got started. And today I want to talk about today, April Fool's Day. April Fools! I actually thought about playing a prank on you guys today, but I couldn't think of something that didn't run the risk of pissing someone off. Because that's the thing about April Fools' jokes. They can really get someone's hopes up and then let them down in a really bad way, or they can just scare the crap out of you and then, you know, have you wanting to punch someone in the arm after you realize it was all a big joke. So I will spare you the April Fool's jokes today, although I have already fallen for a couple myself. I didn't realize I was that gullible, but I guess I am. The first one I fell for was actually yesterday. I love Dr. Joseph Merkula, and he has a very doctorly website, very informative, all factoids. So I totally was caught off guard there. I did not expect him to play a joke on his readers, but he did this story on how the USDA had passed this law starting such and such 2015, just like they've outlawed raw milk, they were going to outlaw all raw meat. So you would never, again, be able to buy meat unless it was already cooked according to government standards. They were going to tag the animals, so there was no way around it. And I was like reading through the whole article, just getting more pissed and more pissed, and thinking about how I'm totally going to post this on Facebook and we have to fight this, and this is crazy because God knows what they're going to do to whatever, the meat. And then I get to the very last sentence, and it was April Fool's. I totally fell for it, and I kept thinking, you know, there's so many people that just read the headline and just sort of scan an article or read the first couple sentences, and then they're tweeting it and posting it on Facebook. So that probably got a lot of people fooled. And my favorite April Fool's Day prank of all time, I have to share with you because I still get a kick out of it. It was when my sister and I played on my dad when we were still pretty young, like maybe 8 and 10, somewhere around there. And my dad got this junky, it was a 1966 Malibu convertible, and we thought it was disgusting. It had rust on it, and it was like this faded maroon color, and he kept telling us it's going to be gorgeous when he gets done with it, but we like ruthlessly teased him about it. And then sure enough, he restored it, and it was gorgeous. It was red and white and super shiny. And we called it the parade car. Like, we were so proud to drive down the street in it. We would, like, wave at people in that funny parade wave that beauty queens do. And he was so proud of it. It was just this super shiny, gorgeous work of art when he got done with it. And so we, like, ran into his bedroom on April Fool's Day and woke him up and just panicked him to death. We were like, oh, my God, Dad! The car is ruined. Somebody, like, totally trashed the parade car. And he went, like, running out front, probably in his underwear and his T-shirt. I can't remember. But he went sprinting out front, and, of course, it was fine. And we were super excited that we pulled one over on our dad. But that is not what I want to talk about today. I just couldn't resist sharing that with you because it still makes me giggle when I think about it. Anyway, what I really wanted to talk about was an archetype that I have come to associate with this day. I've kind of made it like my mascot for April Fool's Day. And I've spoken about archetypes here on the show quite a few times, so hopefully you all know what I mean when I use that word. But briefly, in case you are a new listener and you have never heard that word before, I will repeat what I said about archetypes back in episode 29, because I think it's a pretty good summary that can help you get a handle on this term that is so often thrown around in psychology and now, too, in the New Age community. So it's a good word to know if you're going to participate in this wacky New Agey community here. An archetype is a pattern in the psyche of the individual, and even the collective psyche of an entire culture that dramatically influences our thoughts and emotions and ultimately our actions. They are patterns that we act out in our own lives because of some powerful conditioning that takes place when we are still small children. Some people believe we are born with these patterns, that they are a part of our ancestral memory or our karma or soul contract, but whatever you believe, they are there nonetheless, symbolically or otherwise. And the best way that I know to get a handle on what an archetype is to examine a popular movie like The Wizard of Oz or Star Wars to see how, for example, the Cowardly Lion or Darth Vader, how these characters that we like to see acted out in the safety of a dark theater are actually aspects of ourselves. And thank God for art, because that is how we often come to understand ourselves. So that's my take on archetypes. And as this is a day for pranks and practical jokes, when it comes to archetypes, the trickster might be the first one to come to mind. The trickster can be a prankster, and that's what we have come to know April Fool's Day. You know, that's what it's supposedly all about. He can also be a rebel and a provocateur, and the trickster and the clown are often closely linked or used interchangeably, but they're actually very different. The trickster has a certain wisdom. He is not merely there for your entertainment, and he can sometimes act as a catalyst. As his actics can be Hasessa. The trickster's got my tongue! His antics can be the very thing that affect a change of direction, and often a positive change, which I think has a little to do with the fool archetype I have come to associate with this day. When I think about April 1st being a time of the still budding spring and the initiating energy of Aries, the fool in the major arcana portion of the tarot, it makes such a perfect fit, not only because this card is literally called the fool, but also for what it represents. And really, because it's called the fool, that's why I first, you know, put the two together and started thinking of about it that way. But then when I really started contemplating what the fool stands for and what this time of year stands for, particularly as I got into the wheel of the year more and more and more, I started seeing that, like, this is an awesome mascot for this day and just another chance, you know, to take it to a spiritual level or a psycho-spiritual level. And I've seen the fool and the trickster linked as well, as in William Shakespeare's King Lear, a guy named Timothy Sexton, I don't know who that is, but some guy on Yahoo Voices said something that I thought was worth noting. It's pretty interesting. He was talking about King Lear, and he said, although referred to as Lear's fool, this character actually is endowed with great wisdom. In fact, it takes a fair amount of an intellectual engagement to penetrate to his wisdom, which is tied up in a succession of riddles, puns, and puzzles. The fool stands in direct contrast to the trappings of authority with which Lear the king has been imbued, yet ultimately he is viewed as the wisest character in the play. It's also been noted that the fool is one of only three people who speak to the king with wisdom, and the other two who did so were punished severely. So in delivering his wisdom in riddles and puns as a trickster, the fool ends up rising above the usual blowback. And Neil Gaiman wrote that too. He said that it's a fool's prerogative to utter truths that no one else will speak. So sometimes the fool and the trickster, they can kind of be linked, which is, again, is kind of neat for this day, April Fool's Day, and thinking about how, it, you know, archetypes might come into play or how we could just draw on those to make meaning of this day. You know, I don't know if that meaning is there innately, but I'm kind of a person that believes that, you know, life has the meaning that you give it. So sometimes it's good to give a day a meaning like this and just to contemplate an archetype like this and see how it might apply to our own lives. And Shakespeare actually featured fools in many of his works. In As You Like It, he says, "A fool doth think himself wise, but a wise man knows himself to be a fool." And that reminds me of something I like to say, which is, "The more I know, the more I know I don't know," which is so true. Anyway, archetypally speaking, we all have a fool inside, and this is an energy that we can tap into at this time to help move ourselves forward and to really get into this initiating energy of spring. So for those of you who don't know, the tarot, however you want to say it, I say tarot, the tarot is a kind of metaphorical story. It's a collection of 78 images displayed on what looks like and what was originally a pack of playing cards, which are then shuffled and used for divination. There are 78 cards in a classic tarot deck, and the first 22 are known as the Major Arcana, which happens to be my favorite aspect of the tarot and the name that I gave my first YouTube channel. So if you've never picked up a pack of tarot cards but you're curious, I recommend starting with the Major Arcana and getting to know those cards first. And if you are a fan of Jungian psychology, you will find yourself in very familiar territory because each of these 22 cards represents an archetype. You have them in the court cards as well, but for today's purposes, I will just stick to the Major Arcana. So the archetypes represented in these first 22 cards include, among others, the Hermit, the Magician, the High Priestess, the Star, the Hangman, and, of course, the Fool, which we're talking about today. In fact, the entire Major Arcana experience is known as the Fool's Journey. And if you take the cards sequentially, they actually trace a journey that is initiated by the naive, headfirst enthusiasm of the Fool. And it includes, you know, many challenges and lessons along the way. And then it ends finally with the Fool stepping into his full wisdom with the final card, which is sometimes known as the World or the Universe, depending on what deck you are working with. And there are so many decks today, which is really, really fun for us tarot enthusiasts. The Fool is able to embark on this journey because his or her naive, carefree nature allows him to do so. It's just that naivete that allows the Fool to step on the path to even to begin with, which, again, is very relevant to this time of spring and new beginnings. And it's also important to note that this journey is sometimes called the Hero's Journey, thanks to the work of Joseph Campbell, who did a great job of tracing the hero or the fool's journey in popular movies like Star Wars, as I just mentioned. And Star Wars is a great movie for picking out popular archetypes. And in that movie, you might say that Luke Skywalker, for example, is the fool. He's the fool of that journey. And I even saw a tarot card online once depicting Luke as the fool, which was really funny and fitting. I think R2-D2 was his dog. Typically the fool is pictured, he's like stepping off a cliff. He's usually holding kind of like a hobo bag, like a stick with a little cloth holding things in it. And he's got a little dog nipping at his heels. And in this depiction of the fool, it's R2-D2 is his dog. But our own fool's journey is you know, it's reflected in the books we read and the movies we watch. And if you think about it, the inciting incident in most of these tales involves someone embarking on a journey, perhaps foolishly, which then, of course, it never turns out as originally planned, but it winds up in the end bringing them closer to their true nature and developing a wisdom that they lacked when they first began. And that is the beauty of life. That is how we all learn. If everything went according to plan, if there were no challenges or obstacles along the way, if we knew how it was all going to turn out and which way to turn here and which way to turn there, what would be the point of that journey? I mean, what would we have learned? I think the gift in working with the tarot and the major arcana in particular is that we're reminded of this. You know, you kind of get into a panic with a challenge and you turn to your trusty tarot cards to look for answers, and they can be a comfort to you because they're a reminder that when something seems to be out of your control or unbearably challenging or you feel really stuck, it's actually a part of the grander scheme and all will be revealed eventually. It's all going to make sense in the end. And the words major arcana actually mean big secret or mystery, which I love. And it's only by walking this path, by accepting the journey, that the big secret, the mystery, or the truth will slowly reveal itself to you. And that is why the energy of the Fool is so important. Because if we stood before a journey like that without the Fool's innocence or naivete, without that open, daring nature, we probably would not proceed. It would all just seem a little too daunting or overwhelming, and the Fool allows us to take those first steps in bliss. And Jan Shepherd, the kick-ass creatrix behind Angel Paths, which was one of my first tarot resources, it's a really cool website online that uses the Thoth deck and gives a really cool in-depth detailed description of each card and its meaning. The meanings vary from reader to reader and teacher to teacher, but I really like Angel Paths because it was one of my first, maybe even my first. But she says of the Fool, innocence is a devalued quality these days. We forget that to approach life with eyes that are new each morning reveals to us more of life's mystery than anything else. We cannot substitute the sheer growth permitted by trust and innocence with cynicism nor prior knowledge. So on a day ruled by the Fool, today, April Fool's Day, we need to lift our hearts upwards and open them to the richness and beauty of life. We need to regard ourselves as traveling through a land of wonderment and joy. We need to encourage excitement and exhilaration and to look constantly for that which is new and bright and hopeful in every step we take. Isn't that cool? I love that. I love the part where she says that approaching life with eyes that are new, how that reveals the mysteries to us and how we cannot substitute the sheer growth permitted by trust and innocence with cynicism nor prior knowledge, that there's wisdom in the Fool that you can only get from the Fool. And tarot as a way of life is my current favorite resource. I love this book, and it's been my favorite for a couple of years now because it presents a Jungian approach to tarot, as I suppose I'm trying to share here today. I just like the way those two things go together. And it says of the Fool, the Fool stands for our deep-seated urge to become a fully fledged individual and to cultivate our gifts and talents, an urge that causes us to make radical decisions and prompts us to develop. The Fool is best regarded as a sort of life force buried deep inside us, which continually encourages us to undertake self-development. The Fool often signifies a hard way, with risks and paradoxical situations. Do not let that worry you. It is all part of your own internal dynamics, which is aiming at nothing else than the development of your own potential. So cool. And if you're a person who follows the Wheel of the Year, this April Fool's Day Fool Card Association is probably making a lot of sense to you right about now. It's like the universe is sending us a series of symbolic prompts, little messages of encouragement to get out into the game of life now and to begin again, start something new, step onto a new path, begin again. We first have the launch into this season with the spring equinox in March, followed by the new moon in Aries, which is so much about initiating something new. And now we have the Fool, if we're willing to tap into that archetype today, if you want to go there. And for those who celebrate Easter, we get one last boost with the reminders of the resurrecting life that is bursting forth all around us. And this is the time, as I mentioned a couple of episodes back, to plant new seeds for whatever it is you want to manifest in the year ahead. What do you want to see come to fruition this fall? What seeds could you plant now to bring in a full, bountiful harvest later in the year? The energy of the Fool can help you plant those seeds, launch that biz, ask that girl out, make that scary phone call, kick off that new fitness routine. Because there are no guarantees that those seeds will come to fruition. And the Fool isn't thinking about that. He's just thinking about the excitement of starting something new. She's carried away on the instinctual impulse or the wild enthusiasm that is so necessary to these kind of beginnings. And as I mentioned in the current module of the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, which you can so totally be a part of, we're way, way into that still. People are just now posting about, you know, their experiences. It's not too late at all to join in on that if y'all wanna. You can get there. How can you get there? Go to www.psychospiritualwheeloftheyear. Anyway, there are no guarantees that a late-in-the-year frost or a hungry animal won't come along and wreak havoc in your garden, but you must plant your seeds anyways. You must plant them or starve, so to speak. You may not starve literally. This is just a metaphor here, but if you are overly cautious, if you never take a risk or put yourself out there, you'll never reap the benefits, and your life will start to grow dull and lose its meaning because there is no way of opting out of this game called life. There's no way of opting out without losing your spark. Life just doesn't work that way. So I urge you today, if you haven't already, to use this theme of April Fools, not as an excuse to pull one over on your friends or your coworkers or your poor dad with his parade car, but to see it as an opportunity to really challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to start something new. Step outside your comfort zone and enter into your own version of the Fool's Journey, which you're already on in, like, the bigger scope of things. But, you know, start another little Fool's Journey, a little challenge to yourself. Pick up something new that you've always wanted to try, or just go for something that you feel an urge to take on but that you're a little bit afraid of. Just call on the energy of the Fool. Try to embody that innocent naivete and see where it takes you. Call it the hero's journey if that has a nicer ring to you, but begin something. Whatever it is that's calling to you now, be bold. Let the increasing light of the sun urge you on, especially if you're a person that really likes the seasons and working with the Wheel of the Year. You can use the energy of that increasing sunlight until we get to the solstice, you know, to kind of egg you on. And see if you can recapture some of the wild, innocent exuberance that you had as a kid this time of year. You know, think about spring break and the excitement around that, or the excitement that you felt as school was coming to an end and summer was coming. See if you can tap into some of that energy and get something going for yourself that's exciting and new. And tune in next week, because same time, same place, Tuesday at noon, because I'll be talking about something that I think sort of ties into this whole vibe, but it's actually, it's one of my all-time favorite lessons, one of my all-time favorite life lessons. It's Plato's Allegory of the Cave. It's good stuff, and even though it was written a long, 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 long time ago, it is shockingly applicable to what's going on in our lives today. And so I've actually wanted to do this show for so long. I cannot wait to do it. So please meet me here next week, and we will talk all about it. I also want to know, I've had some people calling into the show. I see your numbers pop up when I'm sitting here talking, and I'm wondering, like, do you want me to do a call-in show? Should I do another call-in show? I can't read your mind, so let me know if you want to do another call-in show. I'm more than happy to do that. Shoot me an email at joannadevoe@gmail.com or find me over on Facebook at Joanna DeVoe. Post me a message over there and let me know if you want me to do a call-in show, what kind of theme you want to do. You just want to sit there and talk to each other? The last call-in show I ended up doing 2 days back-to-back because so many people called in. I couldn't get to everybody in one little 30-minute session. So I'm more than happy to do that again if you would like to do that. And until next week, until we meet again, I hope you have a very happy, silly, fun, exciting April Fool's Day, and much love to you. Peace.